بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد Should they make him a king or should they kill him? This is what the kuffar of Mecca, the mushrikeen, were contemplating about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they claimed that this message, this phenomenon passing through them, was dividing between a father and his son, and was dividing between a wife and her husband. And so they said this must come to an end. So Abu al-Walid Utbah ibn al-Mughira, he said that let me do it and I'll go and discuss this issue with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Abu al-Walid went and he found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting by the Kaaba. Abu al-Walid went up to him and he said, Muhammad, why do you persist in this message? If it's women that you want, he began speaking to him, if it's money that you want, will make you the richest of people. That if it's women that you want, that we can marry you to the fairest of women. And if there's something wrong with your brain, if you have an illness, that will bring the best doctors to you. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him politely, he said, have you finished, O Abu al-Walid? And he said, yes, I've completed what I had to say. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began reciting, قوله تعالى حميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون.
And I want you to imagine right now that I'm not going to translate these verses. I'm just going to leave it the way Abu al-Walid understood it. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued reciting, and this is Abu al-Walid who was a mushrik. He was a mushrik, and in this incident he actually came this close to becoming Muslim, and then he turned his back and he was in hellfire after that. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued from Surah Fussilat, when he reached the verse فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودَ. Abu al-Walid jumped forward and he pounced on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he covered his mouth. And he said, don't say it. Abu al-Walid, in his belief, he thought the reigning punishment of Allah would come right then and there from what he understood of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he covered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mouth and he said, don't continue. Stop it. Don't recite this. Dear brothers and sisters, you come back to the 21st century and now you're on your computer and you see, you turn on your internet and a message pops up and he says, you have one message waiting and you have to click, you go there to see that message. And if it's, you're hoping it may be from a friend you haven't heard of for a long time, or that order from Amazon, you're hoping it's been shipped. And then you find out that it's a Quran mailing list. Someone that keeps sending like 5 or 6 of these every single day. And you're like, oh no, not again. And you take your mouse, you click them without even opening them, and you delete it. Dear brothers and sisters, there's a very important message that has gone unread in our communities. And that message is from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is Al-Quran Al-Kareem. If we randomly ask Muslim communities around the world, why was the Quran revealed? Why? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring these Qurans? We have the Qurans on the shelves. What's the purpose of the revelation? Many people will say that the Quran was revealed so that it would bring barakah to our lives. And no doubt, the Quran is mubarak. It's blessed. And blessed is the person who recites it. But that's not the reason for revelation. This is just a characteristic of the Quran. That's not the reason why the Quran was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكُ. That this book we sent down, it is mubarak, it's blessing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, li. If you're studying in Arabic, you'll understand what the li is. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ. A blessed Quran, a blessed kitab, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. So that they will contemplate, read, contemplate, know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, act upon it. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, the people of understanding. Not people that don't understand. People who understand will be reminded by the Qur'an. And so this misconception of the Qur'an, the reason for its revelation is for this blessedness. It has manifestations in our community. First of all, you'll see Muslim communities or Muslim families, they want their child to recite the Qur'an in Arabic at least once in their life. The entire Quran from cover to cover in Arabic. And I repeat, once in their life. And some of you will know families like this. They hope that they can get a Quran tutor that will do talqeen, which is the person he will recite and their son, daughter will recite after them, and until they've completed one ritualistic recitation of the Quran, and then that's it. No meanings, know nothing. To them, the entire Qur'an is alif lam mim. They don't understand a single harf of it. Other manifestations of this misconception is that you'll see people printing the Qur'an in 30 different parts. And they wrap it in one of those beautiful nylon covers. And there's 30 separate juz, each juz in a separate one. And ask anybody what that specific Qur'an is for, it's for dead people. People have it in their houses. They wrap it up so that when someone dies, they read Qur'an for him. Call it a Qur'an khani, call it a khatam, call it what you want. It was meant to bring barakah for the dead person. After that party is over, it gets wrapped up and shelved once again to gather dust. A third reality of this is someone who dies. And they have money which should go to the children, but instead they decide to give it to a printing company. They take all their money to the printing company and they tell them, I want you to print 1 million Surah Al-Imran. And everybody's like, no, it's not Al-Imran. It's Surah Yasin that they want to print. It's not any other Surah. It has to be printed Surah Yasin. So he prints 1 million Surah Yasin, and at the back it says, please pray for Dr. So-and-so, or this person or that person. Please pray for the family of the deceased. So the person recites Surah Yasin, pocket-sized barakah, recites it, and then he makes dua for the person. And you'll see this consistently happening. They print it in barakah form for people who only recite, or may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone may say, and inshallah this is going to be our topic for today, is when are we going to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Someone may say that why wasn't the Quran revealed in English? I speak English, you speak English, and most of the people in the world speak English, and so because there's so many people that speak English, it would just be practical to have the Quran in English. But subhanAllah, even to that human logic, even to the human logic, if it was based on the majority of human speakers, it wouldn't be an English Quran, even though the person wants it. It would be a Mandarin Chinese Quran. Because most of human speakers speak Mandarin Chinese. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't choose this according to the whims of human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Arabic. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses any language He wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in these verses that Abu al-Walid understood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كِتَابٌ فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. A book which the verses are explained in detail. قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. An Arabic Qur'an لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. For those people who would understand and those people who would contemplate over it. The Qur'an is the truth in its purest form. It is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. That the batil, the falsehood, will not, cannot touch and cannot approach the Qur'an, whether from in front or from behind, تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. That a revelation of one wise,
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين.
You'll see the word there, هدى. هدى للمتقين. And you're saying, اهدنا. You're saying, guide us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذلك الكتاب. That this is the book where there's no doubt, هدى للمتقين. That it is the guidance for those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, As-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path is the Qur'an. And the Qur'an is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll see in many speeches, the person will recite the verse,
وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا.
They'll say holds, which means hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not be divided amongst yourselves. And so the person is saying, well, I need to hold on to this, and Allah is commanding us all to hold on to it. What is it that we have to hold on to? And that Hablullah, as the Mufassirin said, is Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. To hold on to Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. And in the Qur'an, of course, is all the things that come after it, such as the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, اِعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ حَبْلَ اللَّهِ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, hold firmly to the rope of Allah, for verily the rope of Allah is the Qur'an. And the Qur'an is the best of speech. And sometimes, I may be reciting verse after verse, and a person, their brain might start closing. But this is the best of speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an,
اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا مَثَانِي.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has sent down the best of statements, the best of speech, kitaba, a book, its parts resembling each other, and goodness and truth oft repeating. I want you to try to picture Mecca al-Mukarramah. Mecca al-Mukarramah, but not now, when you have all the buildings and the fancy design and so on. You go back, and if you've seen one of these posters, if you remember seeing it, it shows the different stages that Mecca went through. From the buildings, you go back one stage, then it was like mud huts right around the Kaaba with no wall, until you had just a few homes around the Kaaba. I want you to go back to that time. You could see Safa and Marwa from the Kaaba. If you go back to that time, and you picture that city, in the olden days they didn't have street lights. They didn't have street lights, so when the sun would go down, the light that you would see and the reflection, things would start changing colors because the light would go down until the light was completely down, and then you would be walking in the darkness. No street lights. And what would you see in the market, for example? You wouldn't see all these fancy things that we see. You would see them selling dates. You might see them selling meats. You might see them selling honey. But not too much. You'll see, or what do you hear when you're there? You might hear some Arabs chatting. You might hear a camel whining or a donkey whining. You might hear pigeons and chickens. You wouldn't hear the fans. You wouldn't hear the hum of the lights. you wouldn't hear the highway that's passing by right now. And there's so many things that you take for granted, but you wouldn't be hearing any of that. And I asked one brother when he went for Hajj and he slept in Muzdalifah and he looked up in the moon. I said, "Have you ever slept under the moon ever in your life?" And he said, "Never in my life have I looked up in my sleep and saw the moon." We don't sleep outside. But if you lived at this time, you most likely would be sleeping under the stars and moon almost every single day. And you most likely would be reclining, not on a lazy boy, not on a sofa, but you would be reclining on mud. You'd be reclining on sand or hard mud. And in that situation, a man comes forward, and he's known to everybody as a Sadiq al-Amin. And he says that he's the Messenger of Allah. And we've believed in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And you go to him. You want to hear what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say. And so he begins reciting the surahs. Surahs in Juz' Amma, some of the surahs that we recite most often in salah. Surahs that were meant for our for our guidance. And so if you heard those surahs at that time, understanding like Abu al-Walid understood the Qur'an, wouldn't the tears come every single time that you heard those verses? As some of the companions said, كَادَ قَلْبِ يَطِيرُ فَرَحًا بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Hearing the Prophet ﷺ recite Surah At-Tur, he said, it was like my heart had wings on it and it was flying towards the happiness that I had found in Islam. During Ramadan, one of the brothers, he came up to me with a pen and paper. He came up to me with a pen and paper. Alhamdulillah, we have good brothers leading the prayer here. They, you know, do the witr and they make dua in the salah. And sometimes the tears overcome them. And we almost every year, there's some incident. Either it's Chechnya or it's Philistine. And the incidents keep going and the duas keep coming from us. And so sometimes the imam will get overtaken with tears during his dua. And this is happening, you know, regularly. So the brother comes up to me outside and he stops me in the hallway, pen and paper in his hand. And he says, "Muhammad, I want you to translate the dua for me." I said, "Well, you know, I'm kind of busy right now. You know, I've got to go to the souk and whatnot." And he says, "No, Muhammad, translate it. I talked to the other brother and he said, come to Muhammad. Muhammad's going to translate the dua for you." He said, "Because if it makes you cry in salah, it will make us cry too. If we only understood what was being said." And as the brother was saying this to me, and he had tears in his eyes, and I said, "Subhanallah, maybe you understand it better than we do." But he said, "It would make us cry, it would make everybody cry if they knew what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying." Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us one of the charges of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against his ummah and against his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, and the messenger said, يَا رَبِّ, my Lord, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا, that my people have taken this Qur'an as something abandoned. They've abandoned the Qur'an. And so many scholars will say, because this is the charge, have we abandoned the Qur'an? This is the charge. They say, how does someone abandon the Qur'an? Number one, someone abandons the Qur'an by not believing in it. And that's the key thing. Not believing in the Qur'an. And when someone prefers to watch 135 satellite channels or that many radio stations, and if they were to accidentally pass by, or the Qur'an was accidentally to be played, they would immediately, "Oh, I have to listen to one verse, can't cut it off in the middle. Let me wait till that one verse is over," and then they shut it off or turn the channel. The Qur'an is abandoned when someone doesn't care to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Doesn't care. And that doesn't mean that someone doesn't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that's a difference. But when someone doesn't care to know, that is where the danger comes in. And the third one is when a person abandons the Qur'an when they leave the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Qur'an. And when they turn to the British and they turn to the Italian and they tell us, "You tell us what is justice," and they turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, that's when they've abandoned the Qur'an. And this is the charge. And so what is our alibi going to be? You'll hear people saying that my heart has become hardened, so that whenever there's an event, I just feel no spiritualness in the activity that we're partaking in. My mind is completely closed. Heart is as hard as a rock while these rituals are going by. And so I'm going to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, a verse. I'm going to shock you with this verse, because it's going to hit dead center on what the reason for this is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَعَلَنَا عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that hasn't the time come for those who believe, أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that their hearts become humble to the remembrance of Allah. And subhanallah, if you look at the way this verse is coming, it's as if it's the fault of the person who doesn't understand, or whose heart is hardened, it's their fault. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, isn't it time your heart became softened? And it's not something that has to come down upon the person. It's the person making the effort to understand. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and that which was revealed of the truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَكُونُوا, and they should not be. This is a direct commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not be like the people, أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, that we got the Qur'an, they had the Torah, they had the Injil, they had the books before, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ, but they kept spending time, they just let the time pass. They'll say next year, next year, next year, next year. And it kept going past, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and with that passing of time, their hearts became hard, and they hardened.
Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forbidding us from imitating those who are charged with carrying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's books before us, the Jews and the Christians. The time they spent away from their books went on and on until they changed the books. They put it behind their backs, and they turned to the priests and monks, and they worshipped them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was then that their hearts rusted away. And as the poet said, Al-Quran miftahu al-babu al-sa'id, Al-Quran hablun najati al-wahid, la tatrukuh aw tahjuruh, yansakum rabbi idha antum nasituh.
Which means Al-Qur'anu, the Qur'an, the key to happiness's door. Al-Qur'an, the only rope of salvation. لا تتركو, don't leave it. أو تهجرو, or abandon it. ينساكم ربي, my Lord will forget you. إذا أنتم نسيتو, if you forget Him. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد.
We know that some people, they're planning to spend the entire summer watching television. We know that. The entire summer, from beginning to end, that they have before them, they're going to spend watching television. So for these people who want to watch this television all summer long, I have a tip, a TV guide's best bet for summer watching. It's called the off button. It's called the off button. Dear brothers and sisters, our time is too valuable for this. You're not getting younger, I'm not getting younger. And our time will pass just as swiftly. And subhanallah, when the salah will begin, perhaps 85% of our community will not know the verses that are going to be recited. And it's not the first Jummah that we've attended. We've attended again and again and again for perhaps 30, 40, 50 years. and we still don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Language, subhanAllah, is such a blessed thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, tells us in the Quran that it's one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs. You'll hear me talking and someone will say, I can tell you're from Canada. Another person will talk, you can tell they're from Georgia. Another person will talk, you can tell they're from Chicago. You can tell, even though they're speaking the same language. And in this ikhtilaf of the tongues, is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, but you'll see people that can't even speak, they have languages amongst themselves. We know we have sign language. Someone can't speak, they use their hands to communicate. You will see other languages that are made of dots and dashes, Morse code. And people communicate like this and they understand the messages. And so people have done this. They've innovated, they've understood the language, this blessing. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us to learn this Arabic language and learn the message in the Quran. But if you look at the Muslim countries, or the majority Muslim countries, if you look at all the illiterate countries in the world, you'll see that the majority of them on the top 10 list, most of them are Muslim countries. They're Muslim countries. Even though our first revelation in the Quran was Iqra, we are perhaps one of the most illiterate of nations. And we're not looking at our own backyard before we move the world. And if we want to move the world, then we have to move ourselves first. Narrated Ahmad, Muslim and Abu Dawood, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, خرج إلينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن في الصفة فقال أيكم يحب أن يغدو إلى بطحان أو العقيق فيأتي كل يوم بناقتين كوماوين زهروين فيأخذهما في غير إثم ولا قطع رحم قالوا قلنا يا رسول الله كلنا يحب ذلك فقال فلأن يغدو أحدكم إلى المسجد فيتعلم من كتاب الله آيتين خير له من ناقتين وثلاث خير له من ثلاث وأربع خير له من أربع ومن أعدادهن من الإبل. Uqba ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came up to us while we were on a sufa, and he asked us, which one of you would like to go to the market of Bathan and Aqib? And these were marketplaces which sold camels outside of Medina. He said, which one would like to go there and just take two she-camels of the finest breed, the best of the best camels. And like we said, that these were like their Mercedes and their Mitsubishi. These were the best they had. Who would go there, just take the two camels without ithm and have no sin for it? Because it's easy to go and steal something. But the Prophet ﷺ said, without any ithm, without any sin, without cutting off any relations. And they replied to the Prophet ﷺ that we would all love to do this. And the Prophet ﷺ replied that if one of you was to go to the masjid, فَيَتَعَلَّمْ, and learn two verses of the Quran, it would be better for him than two of these she-camels. And if he were to learn 3 verses of the Quran, it would be better for him than 3 she-camels. And if he were to learn 4 ayat of the Quran, it would be better for him than 4 camels and its similarity or its equivalent in the other camels. And here in the United States, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with many things more than what other people have. We have professionals, we have very educated people, there's money in our community, there's time, there's electricity, there's water, there's all these things that we have. And because of all these ni'am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see which countries are like the strongest in their ilm, in their knowledge. You'll see Mauritania is very strong. You'll see, you know, these other countries which don't have very much, even though we have much more than them, but their scholars are much stronger than our scholars. Why is that? We have to excel with the ni'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. These blessings, we have to push forward. And we have to. We don't have another choice because we're going to be asked about this ni'amah that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah today, this isn't like another khutbah where I just tell you this and I tell you, go find out where to learn these things. InshaAllah, we have good news for you. And I think some of you have seen the posters in the sister section, also in the front door, here in the brother section.
of Al-Maghrib Institute. And inshallah, this is the new project from Dar As-Salam, which inshallah I'm going to be directing. And Al-Maghrib Institute is going to be, as you can say, the Fiqh Institute of Dar As-Salam. We have the Quran, the Arabic, the AOU on site, and this is Al-Maghrib Institute is going to add that. But Al-Maghrib Institute is going to specialize in double weekend intensive seminars, meaning that the entire course will be taken over 6 days. And that will be maybe 21 to 24 hours of instruction, inshallah ta'ala. And a while ago, perhaps a month and a half or 2 months, I did another khutbah about seeking knowledge and the importance of that. After the khutbah, there was a survey which some people filled out. And the results of that survey, subhanallah, I saw that one of the most important courses that everyone voted for, that took the lead in votes, was the course of Tafsir al-Quran al-Kareem. And because of that, I've decided, inshaAllah ta'ala, that our launching course, our launching double weekend seminar, is going to be Tafsir al-Quran al-Kareem. And so we're going to start from Surah Iqra, the first revelation, and following the Meccan surahs, going down in the revelation until we complete Juz Amma, and that will have the majority of the surahs that you recite in the salah. InshaAllah, there will be flyers, and you can look at the poster. You can go to the website, inshaAllah ta'ala, and learn more about that. Over 1 month of dedicated research, inshaAllah, will go into each seminar. Our policy, inshaAllah, is that we're going to give more quality than quantity, so that even though it's a double weekend intensive, we may have 1 month, 2 months preparation for those 2 weekends. So that when you do come into class, you will find, inshaAllah ta'ala, something that will impress you in the knowledge that you'll be given, inshaAllah ta'ala. And so, after the khutbah, I'm going to tell you straight up. You go outside, and there's going to be a brother here in the brother section, sisters in the sister section. You ask them for the registration form. You look at the beautiful flyer first, and then you ask for the registration form, inshaAllah ta'ala. And you fill that in, and that will be, inshaAllah, a positive step for our community moving forward and trying to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim wa barik 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama barakta 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unthana. اللهم من أحيته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة.